Recording. Okay, you have the floor, Matthew.
Good evening. My name is Matthew, and I am an alcoholic. And it is wonderful to be here with each and every one of you. And so we'll open here with the Serenity Prayer with both the first and the second verse. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The second verse, living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as he did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever in the next. Amen. And so my name is Matthew, and I'm a real alcoholic. And as a real alcoholic, that means I have a threefold disease. And I have a threefold disease, being the physical allergy, the mental obsession, and the spiritual malady. So the physical allergy means that once I put alcohol into my system, it's not possible for me to have any control over the quantity of alcohol that I consume. Once I put alcohol in my system, I crave more. I crave more. And I have a mental obsession. Mental obsession means that I have no ability, I have no power that prohibits me from taking the first drink. I cannot keep from taking that first drink. And this is a cycle. And so I cannot keep from taking the first drink because of the mental obsession. And once I take that first drink, I continue drinking because of the physical allergy. And I'll continue drinking until I either black out or pass out. And I wake up the next morning from the well-known stages of a spree, and I swear off alcohol. I'm sorry, first I wake up remorseful and regretful, and then I swear off alcohol. And that swearing off works. It works right up until the point that it doesn't work. It works right up until the point till that mental obsession kicks back in, which is usually later that day or later that night. And then I start drinking again. The mental obsession will take me to that first drink. And once that first drink, once that alcohol enters my body, it triggers a physical allergy. I'm off to the races again. And then I wake up again with the well-known stages of a spree, remorseful, regretful, and I swear off, and that swearing off works just until the time it doesn't work again. And then that mental obsession will bring me to that first drink, and hence that cycle continues over and over again for days and weeks and months and years and decades. And when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was hopeless. And I was a hopeless alcoholic. What is a hopeless alcoholic? Well, the big book defines hopeless as wanting to quit but cannot. So when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and when I walked in the rooms of Big Book Awakenings, I was hopeless. I wanted to quit alcohol. I was desperate to quit alcohol. I was desperate to stop drinking. I needed to quit drinking. My body was shutting down. I tried everything to quit and I failed. Why did I fail? Because I'm powerless. Which you didn't know, I'm powerless over alcohol. My life had become unmanageable, step one. And that's what hopelessness is. I come into these rooms wanting to quit, knowing I cannot, because everything I try failed. And then this book provides a program of recovery. The last drink I consciously and vividly remember taking was the beginning of December of 2016. And the next thing I remember was after Christmas in December of 2016. Christmas had come and gone. Then there was a knock on the door. And when I walked in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, it was not under my own power. I had no power. There was a friend who loved me more than he cared if I liked him. And he knocked on my door and he grabbed me by the arm and he literally walked me into the rooms of AA. And when I got into the rooms of AA, there was a bunch of things that I heard. And I heard go to meetings, I heard read the book, I heard get a sponsor, and I heard work the steps. And you know what I knew? Nothing. I knew nothing. And this is what I kept hearing over and over again, meeting after meeting, place after place. And I thought that reading the book, and going to meetings, and getting a sponsor, and working the steps off the wall is what was going to keep me sober. I really thought that, and I placed a lot of hope in that. Well, I met people who did more than 90 meetings in 90 days, and then they drank again. They left and went to the bar directly after a meeting. I held big book readings at my apartment every single week, and we sat around and read the big book. We couldn't really share our experience, strength, and hope because we didn't really have any, but we sure did read that book. And one guy that attended that meeting every single week and read that book every single day found himself drinking in his bathroom with a bottle while he was reading the book. There's another guy that I was working with, a sponsor. He spent a whole lot of time with a sponsor. And then he went out and he drank. He spent a whole lot of time with a sponsor. Another guy got through step 8, never completed step 9, and he went out and drank. Another guy did the steps, sponsored several guys at a time for several years, had almost a decade together, and he stopped doing some things on a daily basis, and he found himself on vacation in Mexico and woke up with a bottle in one hand, some outside issues in the other, in the middle of a brothel with his wife and kids at the hotel. So all the things that I was told to do in Alcoholics Anonymous, go to meetings, read the book, get a sponsor, work the steps, I had witnessed none of those things kept other people sober. And I was scared and I was confused. Now, to be clear, I was scared and confused before I came into AA, and I was scared and confused when I first got here, but I was really scared and really confused at this point. And I didn't know what to do. But I knew that I had to do something because I was in the process of dying. And I wanted to quit. I couldn't quit. And I didn't see anybody around me staying sober, right? So I was scared. So I started going to some different meetings, and then I saw something. I saw different people in different meetings. And these other people that never made any sense to me at about 8 months sober, dying of untreated alcoholism, dying of the spiritual malady, they talked about recovery, not sobriety. And they talked about God, not a higher power, not making my sponsor my higher power. They talked about being powerless. And they talked about life being unmanageable in all its aspects. And these other people that seemed to have something that nobody else had, they seemed to have this thing that I wanted so desperately, even though I didn't know what it was, they started talking about believing in God. And these people were found in the rooms of Big Book Awakening, and they're found in other rooms. They're found in other rooms that have tremendous recovery, that work a God-centered, God-sponsored program. And I heard in the rooms of Big Book Awakenings that I never had to drink again. And the first time that I heard that, I was very scared. I was 8 months here, 8 months old, 8 months sober. I was dying of untreated alcoholism, which means I was dying of the spiritual malady. And the thought of not drinking for the rest of my life was terrifying because I did not want to feel the way that I felt, and I did not want to live the way that I was living. And I was pretty sure I was going to drink again real soon. But then I heard something else in the rooms of Big Book Awakening. And I heard that I never had to feel the way that I was feeling ever again. And there was some light there. I heard that I did not have to continue living as I was living. I heard that there's a program of recovery, and there's a program of action, and it results in a program of living. And that the process of working the 12 steps would in fact change me. And with the desperation of a drowning man, I grabbed on to that circle, that life raft, and that triangle. And the work in the 12 steps would result in a spiritual experience. And that spiritual experience would affect a psychic change. And that as a result of that psychic change, everything about me would change. And that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted when I drank. That's what I wanted when I used. That's what I wanted when I went to a woman. That's what I wanted when I went to work. That's what I wanted when I went to money. That's what I wanted when I moved. That's what I wanted when I went to a new location. I wanted to change because I wanted to be different than who I was and what I was. And so when I walked through the big book, when I walked through the doors of Big Book Awakenings and I came here, I thought that this book and sponsors and meetings, they were going to keep me sober. And what I learned was is that meetings by themselves and this book by itself and a sponsor by themselves and the steps by themselves could not and would not, never had and never will keep me sober. But that if I don't go to meetings and I don't read this book and I don't work with a sponsor that knows how to work the steps and has had a spiritual experience themselves, that I probably would not find a power greater than human power, which will keep me sober. So if I only do these things, I'll die an alcoholic death. But if I don't do these things, I'm pretty much guaranteed to die an alcoholic death. And if I do these things to have a spiritual experience and find a power greater than myself, then God can separate me from alcohol. And that made sense to me. And only a power greater than myself and only a power beyond human power could separate me from alcohol and keep me sober. And so we get here to the circle and the triangle. Oops. And so we get here to the circle and triangle, as you can see on your screen. If you're listening to the recording, you can find the circle and triangle, the first, second, and third edition on the title page. If you're in the meeting live, you can look at the circle and the triangle here. And this should be in the front of your book. This should be on the title page. And this in the entire program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and the entire program opened up to me here. It was removed in the fourth edition, which is a tragedy of high proportion due to copyright issues. But the circle and triangle here, they contain the program, the entire program of living, the entire program of recovery. And this is an entire program to live minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, month by month, and year by year. The circle and triangle literally opens everything up to me. And we have three sides of the triangle. It was pointed out to me that this is an equilateral triangle and that these portions are to be done equally. And we have a unity side of the triangle. What is the unity side of the triangle? We all get chips and they have triangles on them and circles. And one of the triangle sides says unity. The unity is the body. The unity side of the triangle is how I treat the body. It's how I treat the physical allergy. What do I do? If unity, how do I treat the physical body? I take the body to meetings. You know what unity is? Unity is the fellowship. It's one part of a three-part triangle. Unity is the fellowship. It's going to meetings. It's cleaning up ashtrays, setting up chairs, setting up tables, making coffee, taking out trash, greeting people at the door, selling literature. And there's the only requirement for the fellowship is a desire to stop drinking. But on page 24, it says the alcoholic will find that the most powerful desire to stop will be of no avail. The real alcoholic will find at some point that the most powerful desire to stop will be of no avail. And that means that if the only requirement to be a member of the fellowship is a desire not to drink, then if I'm only in the fellowship portion of the circle and triangle, it's not going to be enough to keep me sober. And I'll go out and I'll drink and then I'll die an alcoholic death. What is recovery? So if the unity side is the body and I treat it by taking to the fellowship, the other side of the triangle is the recovery. What is recovery? Recovery is about the mind. Recovery is about the mind. This is how I treat the mental obsession. Where is recovery found? Right? Where is unity found? Unity is found in the fellowship. Where is recovery found? Recovery is found from the title page to page 164 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the foundational text. That's the foundational text. And that's where the 12 steps are located. And recovery manifests itself and is exemplified by God's children who are living their lives in accordance with divine will, who, having done this work, have had a spiritual experience, and they're in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous carrying the message. The words in the book do not mean anything if there's not a living testimony of their truth. And when I walk into the boot rooms of Big Book Awakenings, I find living testaments of truth, of God, of people having had spiritual experiences, and God working through his divine children. So being in recovery, if I want to be in this portion of the circle and triangle, that means I'm actively working the 12 steps. I'm not stuck in step 4 for 7 years. I don't contemplate God for 7 months. I'm actively in the 12-step process, working through the steps. And in this exact moment, I'm in unity, I'm in a fellowship, and I'm in a meeting, and I'm sharing, which is the 12 steps of recovery, right? The 12th step, and I'm carrying the message, which we'll get to in a minute, which is service, okay? And there's a third portion of this triangle. A triangle, tri means three. Right, the third portion of the triangle is service. What is service? So this is an equilateral triangle, and it's to be done in equal portions. And what I'm doing at present is I'm carrying this message. If I've had a spiritual experience as a result of working these steps, and if the answer is yes, then it is my God-given duty to carry this message. What message? The message. Not Matthew's message, not my thoughts, not my emotions, not my actions. The message is the message found in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of working the recovery process, I then have an awakened spirit, and the awakened spirit is then, with the awakened spirit, the message is then carried to the alcoholic that still suffers. And that's what service is. Service comes as a result of the recovery process. Service comes as a result of a spiritual awakening, having working these steps. Now, there are 36 spiritual principles in the circle and triangle. On the unity side, the body side, I have the 12 traditions. The 12 traditions are found on page 562 to 566 of the unabridged fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And traditions are applied to any time there's two or more people. Right? And so, for example, applying this to my family, right? For the family, there's but one purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself through our group conscious. Not my will, not my wife's will, not the children's will, not my mother's will, not my mother-in-law's will, none of this. The ultimate authority is a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Right? And in the recovery mind portion of the triangle, there's another set of 12 spiritual principles, and those are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, found on pages 59 to 60. And when I came into this program and I first learned about the circle and triangle, they told me that there were another set of 12 principles for the service side of the triangle, and those were the 12 concepts. I didn't even know what the concepts were when I came here, and I barely understood what the traditions were, and I did not understand how they were different. And there's another set of 12 spiritual concepts. There's another set of 12 concepts, which are 12 spiritual principles, which I can live my life by. And so the circle and triangle has 36 spiritual principles that I can apply in every aspect of my life. How do I treat the body? I just don't drink. If I don't ever drink again, if I never put alcohol in my system, I'll never break out into physical craving. The fellowship is where I bring the body to treat the physical craving, but it's impossible to stop drinking on my own power. It's only one portion of the triangle. How do I treat the mind? The obsession of the mind is treated. The obsession of the mind is what takes me to that first drink, and that's treated by working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in the recovery program. And when I work, I bring the obsession of the mind to the recovery process. And then, having had a spiritual experience as a result of working these steps, as a result of working the program of recovery, the spirit is awakened, and then I carry this message to the person that still suffers. So there's a part, this is a threefold disease: body, mind, and spirit, physical allergy, mental obsession, and spiritual malady. And there's a three-sided triangle, equilateral triangle. And I bring the body to the fellowship, and I apply the 12 traditions. And I bring the mind to be treated by the process of recovery and applying the 12 steps. And the spiritual awakening as a result of working the steps is what treats the obsession of the mind. And then with that awakened spirit, I carry this message. I carry this message to other alcoholics. I carry this message to other individuals. I carry this message into rooms. I carry this message to H&Is. I carry this message out into God's world, serving as He would have me. And so the promise of this book is that one day I can be whole, and we'll conclude with this: that one day my body, mind, and spirit will not be separate. The promise is that my body and mind and spirit will not be separate. The promise is that the fellowship and the recovery process and service one day will not be separate. The promise is that they may be as one. The promise is that they may be whole. That they may be whole. And when I'm centered in the circle and triangle, and it fuses into oneness, if then I also become whole. I don't work on myself. I don't work on my alcoholism. I don't work on my resentments. I don't work on my fears. I don't work on virtues. I work the program, the 36 spiritual principles. If I'm centered in the circle and triangle on a daily and weekly and monthly and yearly basis, the promises I can be made whole. And there are such promises found on the title page of editions 1, 2, and 3. But if you're in the 4th edition, you're going to have to write this in your book because it's not in there. And when you open the title page and you find this here in the book, the entire program of Alcoholics Anonymous is opened up to you in the circle and triangle. There's a promise of being recovered on the very first page. There's a promise of being whole, with a symbolic representation of the threefold disease, a symbolic representation of the 36 spiritual principles in which to live by, a symbolic representation of each part of the program to treat each part of the disease. And that's what brings us here today, the circle and triangle, and how the more we understand the circle and triangle, the more we understand the entire program of recovery and the 36 principles of which I am able to then live my life by. Because it's not my life and they're not my principles. It's God's life and they're God's principles. And so another time, with your permission, I'm happy to come back and talk about how the circle and triangle is used as a directional heading for myself and for those that I work with on a daily and weekly basis. And it can also be used as a barometer for recovery. May God bless you and keep you.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you very, very much.